I'll ask you tonight, please, to turn to Peter's epistles for some verses, reading firstly in his second epistle, chapter 3, and reading verse number 3. Knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the waters and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now look at chapter 2, please. Chapter 2 and verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now we'll ask you to turn back to the first epistle, 1 Peter and chapter 3. Verse number 18, for Christ also hath once suffered the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. Now that will suffice for reading. Some time ago, in looking through Peter's epistles, I enjoyed to notice how Peter goes back to the Lord's teaching while Peter traveled with him. And we see that Peter was trained as a preacher in the seminar of the Lord's presence. In fact, he refers to that occasion, said Peter, when we were with him in the Holy Mount. And he refers to an instance, and he said, even as it was showed me by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what I want you to notice with me tonight, how repeatedly Peter goes back in his teaching to the old world, to the days of Noah, and he likens them to the last days, and he looks on the fate of the world that then was, and he looks forward to the what this present world is yet to experience. The old world, said Peter, that was overflowed with water. And the world that now is, reserved, likely with fire, waiting the judgment. The very element that God used to destroy the old world was an element of water. And this present world stirred up with fire, waiting the day of judgment. Well, could we not think of that and go back to the words of Christ himself? Answered Christ, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they were married, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Oh, Genesis 6 tells me that the daughters of men were fair. And the very day some of those pretty girls got married, the door closed. Oh, to come home from their honeymoon and find the door is closed, and I must await the judgment of God upon the world in which I'm in. Some time ago, I read about the revivals that they knew in past days. I read of a work of a man in Scotland, and when he preached, the trawlers tied up, the fleet tied up in the port, and to a man that turned out to hear the gospel, and in one small village alone, 200 turned to Christ for salvation. And when I read it, I nearly wished I had been born 100 years earlier. But to me it is a great consolation that the one that decreed the very generation to which I would belong could tell the very character of the day in which we would serve, and said, Christ, in the last days, just prior to the coming of the Son of Man in manifestation, our days will take on the character of the days of Noah. Did you notice that Christ would emphasize that the days of Noah, they were worldly days? Oh, they attended to things that were social. They eat, they drank. They were married, they were given in marriage. And said Christ, the last days will just be as the days of Lot, when they builded, they planted, they bought, they sold. Oh, room for business, room for pleasure, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. Tell me, are we looking at the days of Noah, or are we looking at our day? Worldly in character. And yet Job would tell us that they said to the Almighty, depart from us, what can the Almighty do for us? Room for everything, only a thought for God. Then Genesis 6 would remind us that the days of Noah were wicked days. Violence covered the face of the earth. You know, when man turns away from God, man will turn against his fellow man. And the first man in your Bible that you read of, and he went out from the presence of the Lord and he slew his own brother. The law came in two stones, two tables. Oh, just setting forth God's just demands of his creature. And one table tells us man's duty to his God. And the other table tells us man's duty to his fellow man, his neighbor. And I find that when man discards his thought of God, man will turn against his fellow creature. What's one of the major problems in every nation on earth today? Is it not that of violence? Are we not taking on the very character of the days of Noah? Oh, but then, in Genesis, again I read that it was a scene that was watched. I think this is sobering for the sinner to remember that God is watching my actions. I know of no sweeter thought for the Christian than to remember that I'll never be found in a circumstance, but my Father's eye is upon me. And God is conscious of my every circumstance, and I enjoy the care of an almighty heavenly Father that's sweet to my soul. I know of no more sobering thought for the sinner than to remember that God is watching my actions. And my Bible tells me that God saw that the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil, and that continually. God watching the actions. Remember that, young man? God watches the sinner on a Saturday night. Remember, young lady, when you're far from home and your mother can't see you, God is watching. Oh, what a sight for the eye of God to behold the violence, the worldliness, the wickedness of our day. God is not unconscious of the behavior of men. Now I want you to notice, and Peter links the two together. Oh, said Peter, God waited in the days of Noah. Now he said, God is long suffering usward, not willing that any should perish. The scoffers that arise in the last days, you know, sometimes we meet very smart men, smart Alex. And they asked you, where did Cain get his wife? And if they read their Bible, they would have known that there were plenty of girls for Cain to get. But you know, the thought is, I have thought about something that God overlooked. God knew what the scoffers would ask before they were born or before their grandmother was born. Yes, said Peter, in the last days, scoffers will arise saying, where is the hope of us coming? Did you ever hear them? If there is an almighty God, why does he not intervene on earth? Why does God allow such inhumanity man to man? If there is a God of love, why does he allow such suffering amongst men? Oh yes, said Peter, God is going to intervene. God is going to introduce a perfect government upon earth. The day is not far distant when righteousness will reign upon this scene. How will he do it? Well, he'll do it in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not his gospel. Friend, God will soon intervene in this world. And this world has taken on the very character that will bring on the judgment of God upon it. Why does he not hurry? He's long-suffering. Usward, he's not willing that any should perish. Oh, sinner, there's a God that looks on the sinner with pity. Oh, with grief in his heart betimes, but with pity and with longings for salvation, and he's not willing that any should perish. He's slow to judge. He waited in the days of Noah. Will you think of the patience of God with a sinful world? And he's long suffering usward, not willing that any should perish. The patience of God towards men makes even the scoffers to wonder. Peter uses a lovely expression there, you know. This to have been willingly ignorant of. They excluded from their thoughts. Then I want you to notice the preparing of an ark. Isn't it lovely to notice? When it grieved God at his heart as he looked upon that scene of wickedness and violence and worldliness and ungodliness, and he waited. Oh, what does God think of this present world? You know, I don't read the scandal newspapers. Oh, I thank God daily that I'm delivered from hell. and I thank him for deliverance from this present evil world and the slavery and misery of sin. And I'm thankful that I don't know the inner life of our city or the corruption that goes on. But my God watches on. And he waits. And he's slow to anger. And he's plenteous in mercy. His patience towards men is long suffering as he waits. But the God that's slow to judge and waited in the days of Noah in that lovely parable, I see God in a hurry. And what is it? He ran and he fell on the prodigal's neck and he kissed him. God swift in response when a sinner turns in repentance. Do you know, sinner, God is so eager and finds such delight in saving sinners, he wouldn't wait until the meeting was over. Shoo, I would like to wait and speak to the speaker. You're welcome to do that, friend. We're very approachable. Do you know, God wouldn't wait until the close of the meeting to embrace you and give you the kiss of welcome and the embrace of welcome to the sinner that turns in repentance. The God that waits, long suffering, not willing that any should perish, he ran to embrace the sinner that repented. The preparing of salvation. Did you notice? Lovely thought to me. Not until there was a shelter provided. Not until the ark was completed did the storm of judgment break. And when God provided a shelter for those that would trust him, he provided an ark that would endure the storm. And that ark that sheltered Noah, his wife, his three sons and their wives, 8 persons that entered into that refuge that God provided, that is a refuge that went through the storm, bore the waves and the billows, and sheltered those that put their trust in their God. Nothing of man's imagination in it, you know. Everything in the ark was designed by God. It didn't need a trial run. There was no alarm signal sounded. There was no list to the starboard. Why, it was designed by God. Noah, take a look at it. Can you suggest an improvement in the design? Could you find anything that God has omitted in the ark? I challenge you, Noah. Friend, I want to tell you, we preach a Christ tonight, a Savior that God has given to meet the need of sinners, and I challenge any man to find a fault in the Savior that we preach. I challenge any man to find aught missing in that work that he completed upon the cross to meet the need of perishing sinners. It's a work that has satisfied God, friend. And it is a work that has satisfied every sinner that has put their trust in Christ. We haven't a fault to find in Christ. But did you notice that when God would prepare salvation for the sinner, he gave his son that went into the very judgment that was my due. And God dealt with his son upon the cross without mercy, that he might provide a salvation for me, and that he might deal mercifully with me. Fanny Cosby, that wrote some lovely hymns, she was the blind hymn writer. And she said, I have thanked God for blindness. For she said, the first face that ever I shall see will be the one that was more marred than any man's, and is far more than the sons of men. And Fanny wrote, oh, the soul-stirring rapture, when I view his blessed face, and the welcome of his kindly beaming eye, how my full heart shall praise him for his mercy, love, and grace, that prepares for me a mansion in the sky. Oh, she said, I shall know him. I shall know him. As redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him. I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hand. And you know, when the storm was over, and Noah stepped out on a purged earth, and they uncovered the ark, not a drop reached Noah in the ark. Not a blast of storm fell upon Noah. He'd lightly walk round the ark and he'd see the tide mark. And he'd view where the waves had struck. And he'd view where the storm had broken. Oh, he said, I'm saved, for God saved Noah. But the ark bore the storm in my stead. Friend, I'm looking forward to heaven. I'll soon be there. No, the attraction is not the golden street. It's not the rainbow circle thrown with all its grandeur. Friend, I'll want to look at hands that were wounded, side that was riven, feet that were nailed to a tree of shame. Friend, adoringly, we'll bow at his feet and acknowledge I'm safe at home in heaven, for there was one that bore the judgment in my stead. Did you notice that Christ also suffered for sins? The just for the unjust, to bring us to God. And in preparing salvation for men, God exposed his Son to the full weight of the judgment that was my due. I told it here to the boys and girls. I like it. I was preaching in the city of Armagh, and after the meeting one night, a schoolboy was waiting for me, and he told me something that made me feel 10 years younger. He said, I got saved last night. Oh, to look into the face of a boy that's bound for heaven is big business. Says I, how did you get saved? I've been thinking about it for some days, he said. Last night I went home and I felt I must get it tonight. That's the spirit. And he said, I got my Bible and I was reading this verse. Christ also hath once suffered for sins. He said, for my sins. The just for the unjust, to bring us to God. Oh, he says, Christ has died for me. And he said, I trusted him. And he's already given evidence, friend, that he's happy and secure in Christ, the one that bore the judgment in his stead. The preparing of salvation. The preaching of Noah. God still uses the preacher, you know. A preacher of righteousness. Will you think of that scene? God waiting. Noah preaching. And the Spirit striving. Oh, that's the very character of the age in which we're living. What type of a man did God send to preach? Well, he was a man that first of all embraced the message himself. The Hebrew epistle tells me, by faith Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, oh, God said, I will destroy man whom I have created. Noah embraced the message of warning. Oh, as sure as night follows day, judgment will follow sin. Noah believed God. But will you notice, the man that can preach to others was a man that appreciated the refuge that God had provided. I was thinking of Noah when my brother was speaking. Doubtless Noah would walk round the ark and admire its design, and he knew its measurement, you know, 300 cubits long, 50 cubits broad, 30 cubits high, made of gopher wood. Yes, he knew it in theory. Could you tell me when Noah was safe from the storm? When he responded to the invitation of God, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark." Says Noah, it's designed, it's provided by God, and it's for me. Will you notice, it's not go in. No, it's come in. Noah, God's in the ark. He invites you to shelter. Oh, sinner, God is fully satisfied with the work and person of his Son. And that's the one he asked you to trust for salvation. If God's satisfied with the work of his Son for sinners, why do you wait, dear sinner? Why not put your trust in him tonight? He's worthy of your trust. May God help you.